Audrey, thanks for coming in. Welcome to the Play Inspired podcast. Here we talk about your experience when it comes to vulnerability, self-expression, and the things that you've picked up while you examine your own life. So give us a little bit of an intro and give us a little sneak peek inside your world.
Sure. So I am a self-professed recovering perfectionist, and it's kind of what brought me to the work I do now. But I think that's one of the important things that I've learned, especially over like the last few years. And it's something that it's kind of a thread that's woven itself throughout my entire life. And figuring out how to navigate and sort of pull apart all of the stories and lessons and so-called truths that I thought that I had to follow or live by, and then starting to like pull those apart and actually start to look at them and be like, oh, actually, there's some not so truth in here. That's kind of been I guess the theme of like how things in my life have been.
That's always the thing, you know, like we have these certain things that we really do believe, but it's something that we picked up as we were younger, you know, like maybe your grandma said something and you made it mean something else, and you're just reacting. You're like in your 20s or 30s now, and you're still reacting to that said thing. You're putting it everywhere in your life.
Totally. And I think even beyond, like our own direct family, just how sort of like how we grow up and the society we grew up in and the messages that we're told and reinforced on a regular basis and how people react to us and all of that sort of stuff. It does, you're right. It follows us as we get older. And unless we take a pause and examine it and figure out, I love this phrase, and I don't know who the original like person who said this phrase is. Maybe a million people have, but just because it's real doesn't mean it's true. So you may feel all the things, you may think all the things, your experience of it may be absolutely real and doesn't mean it's true, which is like that sort of pulling things apart and starting to look at things.
excuse me. And it's always tough when you have to really admit to yourself these certain truths. You know, like you've been acting a certain way, you've been reacting a certain way, and you're like, wait, let's pull back a little bit and let's see how true that is. In the beginning, you're gonna be like, yeah, no, I'm right about this. I'm right about this. Until you get really, really honest with yourself, and you're like, yeah, I was wrong.
Totally. And for me, every time I've hit one of those big truths, and I think admitting my own perfectionism and sort of how I had affected my own life was one of those moments. And for me, and I think this is different for everybody, but there's sort of like, for me, there's always been some sort of like a existential breakdown that happens in that moment where it's kind of just like everything just explodes. I always have some sort of like big crying episode, kind of just like a just disorientation, just like, oh my God. It's like when all the puzzle pieces fall into place at the same time. I don't know how to describe it any better than that, but like I can remember like an episode like being in an old apartment and just like having this breakdown and then just like staring at the ceiling, being like, well, now what? There's sort of this like clearing of the slate. And it's like, now you have this knowledge in front of you, but you've been doing everything this particular way your entire life. Now what? That's how my process has been, at least, is like these kind of weird existential breakdowns, big realizations. And then like, okay, now what's next?
That's always the but then the thing is, for me, my experience is when I am in that part where there's nothing, I keep forcing myself to find something.
Yes.
And I find myself even more overwhelmed, even more frustrated, instead of just sitting there in nothing and, you know, just let things happen.
Totally. Totally. And that's the thing, right? Is like, I feel like we've been taught this thing that it's like everything is complicated, right? Everything is very intellectual. It's very cognitive. It's very, you got to figure it out. You got to think about it. You got to understand it. And that's very, we honor that, right? We celebrate that in our society. And many solutions are not able to be discovered that way. It's just not, they're just not. And just like you said, taking a moment to like get out of the mental blah, 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 and all of the information and all of that, and just taking some time to sort of sit and tune in and pay attention and slow down. It's amazing what appears when that happens, but we're not taught how to do that. We don't talk about that sort of way of relating to ourselves. And it's unfortunate because you're totally right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, when one person starts to, you know, in this journey of self-awareness, like looking inward, you know, like we see all these advice all over the internet, social media, you know, like you got to journal, you got to meditate 2 hours a day, you got to do this, you got to do that. And it gets overwhelming because you find yourself sitting there first thing in the morning. A certain person on the internet said I should be doing this, but it just doesn't feel right. So where can a person start without getting in there? Like, how do they find what's aligned to them? What's your advice when it comes to that?
It's such a good question. And it's so like, it's like this cycle that happens, right? It's like, well, I'm not going to follow what people tell me to do, but like, I also need to kind of figure out what's available to me. So I also have to find somebody to tell me what to do so that I can try something out. You know, it's one of the biggest mindsets that I talk about is just the concept of an experimental mindset. Like, what is doable? What is small? What is possible? And like, do it as an experiment, because I feel like there is a lot of pressure put on like, do it the right way, right? If you're going to meditate, it's got to be, you know, 20 minutes first thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, or like, you know, you got to do it twice a day, or right. There's all of these huge, definitions put around these things. But like, what if you just took like 30 seconds of just looking up from your computer screen and taking a few breaths during your day? Like, what if you maybe, you know, turned off your phone or your electronics like a half an hour earlier before you go to bed? Like, what, just really starting to like ask yourself, what are the things that tend to help me feel better? Like, is it when I get outside? Is it if I go for a walk? Is I've been able to move my body? And like starting to look at yourself and be like, okay, well, what are the things that I know in the past tend to be good for me? And then breaking whatever that is down to smaller chunks. Like, maybe going for runs used to be really great for you, but you're like, I don't have the time to go for a run. Can you walk around the neighborhood, right? Can you start there? So starting really small, trying it out. It's an experiment. So it doesn't have to be permanent. You're not committed to it for the rest of your life, but like start there. You gotta like, you know, it's like if you, my mentor always says this, you know, it's like if you need to plug a destination into the GPS, but like you have to start moving. Like, the GPS isn't going to tell you anything until you actually start moving towards your destination. Once you start moving, then you'll get more information. Then you'll figure something else out. But like, until you start moving, you're not going to get any information.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's we always get so hyper focused, you know, like you wake up first thing in the morning and you're like trying to sit in meditation. You're so angry at yourself. We don't, or, you know, you're like, okay, this person said that it's a challenge, 30 days, we're going to run for 1 mile. I'm like, okay, so first things first, it's okay. You know, you got to start small. Like you said, you know, starting small, that doesn't mean you're going to be there forever, right? It's a start. And like you said, you know, it's a GPS. Doesn't mean just because you started here doesn't mean this is where you'll be 5 minutes later. And so we get so hyper focused in that we are like now we don't see what's ahead.
Totally. And we don't, you know, some of us don't even think about what might be ahead. Like, it's right, it's a balance between like picking our heads up and sort of envisioning what's ahead so that we can set our destination, and then also like then putting our heads back down and being like, okay, cool, there's the destination, but like, what are the tiny steps that are going to get me in that direction? And again, like, maybe you set your, you know, you set your GPS for like 20 minutes of meditation every single day, and you start meditate, you know, you start doing a minute of mindfulness every once in a while. And you're like, huh, actually, I realized that like, this works for me really well, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Mm. Great. Cool. Then maybe you change your destination. You know, like that's how you figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always a constant, recalibration of things.
Yes,
Yeah, it's not
totally.
like, yeah, it's not that if you set this, that's it. No, there's always like a constant tweaks here and there until you find what's right. And just because it feels aligned right now doesn't mean it's gonna feel aligned forever. You're still gonna have to recalibrate that still.
100%. And that's like the perfectionism thing too, right? Where it's like, I got to get it right. I don't want to mess it up. And there's like two things that happen. One is like diving in head first, doing too much and then burning out, or like not doing anything at all for fear of messing things up. So it's like, that just those pieces, small, doable, little bit, recalibration, right? All those things you just said are so like, pay attention, listeners. Those are important things.
So you mentioned, you know, like you're a recovering perfectionist, and this is something that I still completely hardcore grapple with. Like the other day I was on another podcast recording and I asked a question, and I'm in my head, I'm like, well, that's just stupid. After the recording, I'm just like, fuck, I want to hit my head against the desk here. Like,
Right.
yeah.
Yeah.
And so, what are the conversations that you have with yourself, you know, when you find yourself in that moment? How do you kind of rein yourself back in?
It's such a good question because this happens, it happens with me with clients sometimes too, where I'm like, wow, you really could have handled that differently. Like you really should, right? You really should have it. That's kind of like the wording that comes, and you really should have handled that differently. You really could have come up with a different, way of approaching that. And I feel like there's a couple of things to navigate. One is this false belief that if you do things a certain way, you'll always come off well. People will always have a positive opinion of you. You're never going to have to navigate anything difficult. There's this like false concept that like, if I get it right, it's always gonna have a good result. And like, everybody's always gonna be in good relation to me. Right. So one is just being like, guess what? This is the reality. You are going to disappoint people. You are going to mess up. You are going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. You're right. These are things that it's like, get on board with these realities, because as long as you are not living in this reality that like you're a human being, you're going to fuck up. That's the reality. I feel like that's the first thing. It's like, okay, get on board with that reality. Next being like, okay, what did I learn from that? Like, okay, I'm poring over in my head. Is there a learning there for me? Is there something like, did I speak too fast? Was I not paying attention? Was I not listening? Right? Is there something there for me to move going forward? Or is this me just beating myself up over a very human, normal moving through the world moment? And I think that that's a really valuable perspective for me to constantly, check in with myself, is that like, there's this narrative that like, if you handle things a certain way, if you say things a certain way, you're never going to hurt anybody's feelings. You'll be able to satisfy everybody. You'll be able to smooth things over all the time. And like conflict is normal. And we're not taught that, right? It's if conflict happens, something's wrong. It's like, no, I can't be in relation to all of these people and expect that I'm going to be in good relation with them all the time and never have conflict or never have to navigate conflict. And I think that that's right for perfectionists. That's especially a difficult thing because it's like the coping to stay away from that conflict as much as possible and not deal with it. So those are some of the sort of self-talk mental like things that I'll go through. And then if I really need to, I'll call a friend and just be like, hey, can you help me off this ledge right now? That I'm like this ledge of beating myself up over this thing. And there's always somebody to help me out.
Yeah.
So
Oh, yeah. Love it. I love it. So, what are the biggest in your journey so far? What's the biggest perspective that you've gained or you've lost that really helped you, you know, like keep yourself level for the most part? Yeah.
yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me has been working with myself from the bottom up. And what I mean by that is that I started to realize that, so how I first tried to start addressing everything was from a mental place where I'd be like, okay, I've got all these thoughts coming through and I need to just like battle these thoughts or like wrestle them to the ground or like don't think that way or right. I was very like in my head and trying to battle all these thoughts. And I started to perceive, look at myself from a different way. So as opposed to thinking of my thoughts and trying to wrestle with them, I started to realize that, oh, wait a minute. if I address myself from the neck down and I start to realize that I have these sensations that happen in my body that are kind of controlling a lot of the time what's going on in my head. If I address myself from the neck down, if I'm working from my body, if I'm working with my nervous system, if I'm working with my breath, if I'm working with movement, that actually takes care of the mental craziness upstairs. So that was the biggest shift for me, because I'd always tried to be like, change my mindset and like, don't think that, and like, think more positively. And until I got the physical piece of it and like the nervous system understanding and like why my body was doing the things it was doing, I kept feeling like there was something wrong with me. I'm like, everybody else seems to be able to change their mindset. How come I can't change my mindset? For me, it just was not the right approach from where I was starting from.
Yeah. It's something that you see all the time, you know, like it, especially social media. I have such a love-hate relationship with social media, just because everything totally. Just seems so beautiful. How could this person be so happy all the time and not like wake up just wanting to cry like I did, you know, like, and then, yeah. Oh, I lost my train of thought. And then you're like, okay, you got to stay positive. You got to think, you know, like change it. But you actually end up suppressing everything and you bottle it all up. It's like you're doing the reverse of what you are trying to get rid of. Does that make sense? Yeah.
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 Yeah. It totally makes sense. And actually something I'll touch upon with the social media piece. And this is really insidious because right, as we are as social creatures, and as we sort of move through the world, it's natural for us to be looking around, right, as a sense of like, right, we're community creatures. We are, you know, we want to be part of a safe community, right? We want to be part of a safe belonging sphere. And so we look around to kind of see like, where do I fit in this community, right? Like, where do I fit in? How do I sort of rank as compared to like the people around me, right? In like the before internet's times, that was reality. You'd literally be walking through the world and sort of seeing, right? Like you'd be kind of seeing things and you have a little bit more of a realistic, you know, in some ways it's a little bit more realistic, right? You see people's actual houses, you see people's actual lives and they interact with their kids and all that sort of stuff. Well, when you're only getting the highlight reel of people's lives, or not even the highlight reel, they're like, you know, pretend real of people's lives, there's this false expectation created that like, this is reality, right? This is reality, is everybody is walking around like this. And it's so easy to misinterpret that, right? Our systems go, what? Well, shit, this is not good. Like I'm not doing well. If this is how everybody's functioning, things are not great. So I think that is like one of the huge dangers of just looking around and doing the comparison, because it's not reality. Just as you said, that's not people's lives. That's not how things go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This reminds me of something my mentor said like earlier on in my journey. She said, you are comparing someone's play to what's going on in your backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, shit. Yeah.
That's a great analogy. I love that.
So what were the harder conversations that did you have to have with yourself?
I think a lot of I think some of the harder conversations are around my perceived limitations or like my concept of success. I think that's a really challenging one because, you know, we've been taught so from such an early stage and from such an early age that like the best way or the easiest way to measure our success is by our bank account, right? By the sort of money we're making or not making. And, you know, as somebody who's gone through different iterations of employment. I've worked at a company. I've been a contractor. I've been self-employed. I've, owned a brick and mortar. I've managed, right? I've been in all these different iterations of employment and I have a big, I've got a breadth of experience behind me. And I've had a lot of points of starting over on things. Like even in my, you know, the iteration of my business now, there's like been a starting over process. And every time there's that starting over process, there's this frustration around like, I should be farther along. Like, it's so annoying that now I'm starting from, you know, I'm looking around and it's like, oh, people who have been in their, right, people have been in their jobs for longer, like making more money and they're doing the thing. There's this sort of, again, it's a comparison thing, looking around and my measuring my success by how much money I'm making and being like, well, I'm not good at this because I'm not making the money I should be making doing the thing, right? And that's, again, it's a bunch of BS and it's a particular measure of success, but it's not the only one and it's not always the helpful one. So that's one of the hardest ones, especially you know, as an entrepreneur, I am up against that one like on a regular basis, and it's a tough one.
Yeah. And so how do you, when that comes up, how do you, cause I love that how you mentioned iteration, by the way, we're going to go back to that in a bit. So when you're in that, what conversations now did you have to have with yourself in order to, and continue to have with yourself in order to be like, okay, so it's not about the dollar signs here. So how, what kind of conversations do you have?
I mean, there's a couple of layers of that conversation. Cause one will be like, one is, yeah, I gotta pay my bills. Right. So there is money is involved 100%. And there's the, okay, that being the case, what's the choice you want to make? I've joked with a couple of friends of mine who are all either in small businesses or entrepreneurs. For me, there's about a 3-month cycle. Every 3 months I go, I can't do this anymore. I got to get a job. Right. It's like almost like clockwork, and it's become predictable where I'm like, I literally will go out and I'll do some job searching and I'll kind of look around and then I'll have a, like, you know, sit down with myself and go, okay, this is kind of what's out there. Is this something you want to continue to do? And then I'll go, yeah, I do. And then I go on. Right. I'll talk to friends, same thing. Like, I'm really struggling. They'll be like, you know what? Do you want to keep doing it? And I'll be like, yeah. And they're like, okay, then go after it. I mean, but these are conversations that happen all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. And like, I think that sometimes people have this rosy look on like, oh man, being self-employed is so awesome. It's not rosy over here. It is not rosy. It's not easy. And talk about if you want to do a serious, serious self-growth exercise, open your own business, because man, there has been nothing I've experienced in my life to be that impactful.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, if anything should, you know, like out of all this, it's not the time freedom. It's not the not waking up. I can wake up whenever I feel like it. If I want to go back to bed, it's not that. It's the growth. It's the fact that I got to visit, learn about examining things. Cause I would have gone through life like just going to work and coming home thinking, oh, look at me, I'm so great, I'm chief engineer now, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, if anything, this is what really makes entrepreneurship really worthwhile, is the self-growth, way more than the money, way more than the cool stuff.
Totally. And it's like the blessing and the curse of it, right? Sometimes I'm like, I wish things were cushier, right? Like, I wish I could just go 9 to 5, turn my brain off, do the thing and come home. Like, that's the like shake my fist at the sky moment. But then at the same time, it's like, okay. And that's the reason, that's also the thing that would just make you crazy. Like when I did that in my earlier years, it was, I mean, I was like severely depressed about it. You know, I was like, this is not it. This is not it. Probably would have the same effect on me today.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me, like, I'm like, whoa, she's going through cycles. I don't go through that. And then the more I think about it while you're telling your story, I'm like, actually early 2019, I really gave into it. I went as far as going to work to this new job that I applied for. And I went to work for like a week and I'm like, yeah, no, this ain't it.
Yeah.
I gotta go. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I even started the new job.
So, but that's like relatable content, right? It's like, yes, we've all done it.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Anyway, going back to what you said earlier, iterations. I love that. It's not because we're in this idea of I gotta find what's for me, and I'm gonna do that until I'm 70 or until I die. But I love it, you know, like you're always growing, there's always iterations, you know, like putting that, it's not a perspective that we see, even though we all do it every day. I love that.
Yeah, totally. We have this weird concept. Again, it's just like these stories and these narratives that we're told that are very neat and tidy. Like it's a linear progression. You do A and then you do B and then you get C and then you do D. And it's like, it's just paved, everything's smooth. No. You know, even when it comes to, you know, business building, people, we have discussions around like, okay, trying to get your business off the ground. What you think it's going to be is never what it ends up being, right? And if you're paying attention, it shouldn't be, because you're going to get new information and you're going to hear from the people that you work with, right? In business and in life, right? We think we're going to be somewhere and then stuff happens and then we got to adjust. So yes, 100%. Yeah. And like, yeah, that's really one of those things. It's like, get out of that linear narrative. Ugh. Yeah.
It reminds me of this, because one of my friends showed me some Korean drama last week, and I'm not big on watching like Korean TV shows, and I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. And then I got curious, so I Googled Samsung. Did you know that Samsung started as selling fish and food and all that stuff? Who would know that they'll be selling TVs and phones and appliances, right? Talk about iterations.
I love that. That's, yeah, it's a great illustration of that. 100%. Yeah.
So what's a question you wish more people asked?
Like of themselves?
Mm-hmm.
I think a question that I wish more people asked themselves is just kind of a general, how is this going check-in on a regular basis? You know, like, just how is this going? I think that one of the things that is not encouraged or not built into habits, right? We've kind of got this like new year thing, right? It's like everybody goes through an entire year and they get to the end of the year and they're like, how'd that year go? And then they do some sort of, you know, shaming themselves that they didn't get all the things done that they wanted to get done. And then they're going to make new goals for the next year. But it's just like, what if we checked in with ourselves on a more regular basis and we're just like, how are things going? Like, how's my personal life going? Like, how's that working out right now? Like, how's my work life going? How's that working out right now? And like, because I think it would really keep a lot of people away from the like rock bottom, now at the edge of the cliff, now things are so awful because I've let things go so far that I've gotten away from myself. And now I gotta like, really like deal with all the carnage that's happened, you know? So I think just a regular check-in would be super helpful for people to do.
Yeah. And the key to that is really being honest with yourself. Cause you know, like I could ask you, hey, Audrey, how are you doing? You're like, good. That's it. Right. No, you gotta be completely honest with yourself. Yeah.
Yes. If your answer to yourself on a regular basis is I'm fine, you're not okay. You got to get real with yourself. You got to get some extra feedback around you and be like, hey, how am I doing? Because your good friends will probably be more honest with you.
Yeah. So one final thing here, let's get imaginative for a bit here. Okay. So say I sprinkle some magic dust on the computer and the headphones, and whatever you say can be heard by the people that you serve, right? They can hear it. And when I say they can hear it, they can actually hear it. It will pierce through all the layers that they put in front of them. And they will start implementing and really applying and putting it into their life. What would be your advice to them?
Stop fixing and start noticing.
I love that. That is awesome. Yes. Audrey, I'd like to acknowledge you here for a bit. Acknowledge you for the stand that you are, for really the people that you serve, you know, like helping them get out of their own way and really, you know, live life to the fullest, for the lack, you know, as cliche as that sounds, but really explore life and live life in the best way that they could possibly have. So thank you for your work.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm letting that in. Feels good. And I want to reflect a bit back at you the same thing, just having these conversations and having your reflections on on what your guests say and really sharing your own insight is like so helpful.
Thank you. So what's the best way our listeners could get in touch with you?
So heading to my website, and actually, so my website is Fortitude and Flow. And actually, if you go to the link fortitudeandflow.com and then /podcast interview, that will bring listeners right to an option to get some noticing meditations. So if that like stop fixing, start noticing thing is really up your alley, it'll give you an opportunity to get some meditations and get some information about like what I'm up to and what we do at Fortitude and Flow. So that's really the best thing. And then if you're a social media person, like head over to Instagram. That's the best place to be. And that's Fortitude and Flow as well.
Awesome. And that's fortitudeandflow.com/podcast interview.
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. All right. We'll have all that in the show notes. Audrey, thank you again for coming in. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This is great.